Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Looking at the NFL Network right now here, I don't see Schrager. I don't know where he is. He's floating around somewhere, but he's with us now, so he hasn't been with us in a while, but he's bouncing around. He's too busy. He's got too many things going on, but he's with us as we get ready for a Week 10 in the National Football League. What's going on?
What's up, my man? I'm good. I you had Albert Breer on. You had some other guys on. I was feeling that
maybe I was out of favor here, you know? No, you're too busy for us now. You've outgrown us. You know, you're like, you got the morning thing. You got the weekend stuff. You got stuff going everywhere or every day, you know. So I see here Khalil Mack full practice today, so he's ready for the action this week. Nice of him to rejoin us for the season. How about things in Pittsburgh first as they get ready for tonight with that, you know, completely dysfunctional family? How are things in Pittsburgh this evening?
It's so weird. It's like this team is 5-2-1. Everything looks to be completely fine on paper, and yet the star running back is doing upside-down tweets. The team is calling him irrelevant. The coach called him. You know, you hear what Tomlin said before the game last week. He said, "I'm looking for volunteers, not hostages." And then Antonio Brown gets dinged for going 100 miles per hour this morning.
Yeah, I mean, and they got to get ready to play a good team tonight because Panthers are very quietly a very good team.
Panthers are a very well-coached team, very disciplined. Ron Rivera has those guys dialed in, and obviously North Turner has unleashed something in the offense that's been missing with the Giants' current offensive coordinator, Mike Shula, the past few years in Carolina. So, to me, this one's it's quite a push because you've got the home field advantage and knowing what the city of Pittsburgh has been through the last few weeks with their tragedy that happened. They haven't had a home game since then. I know there's a lot of emotions involved in this one. And then you've got the Panthers coming in red hot. So, a lot of these Thursday night games have been, especially last week with the Niners and the Raiders, and we gritted our teeth through that one trying to sell that one. Today it's easy. This is a good one. This is a possible Super Bowl matchup. Both teams trending in the right direction, but the Steelers, I don't know how they're 5-2-1 with what they've got going on off the field.
Now, we have now proven, right, that was a bogus report yesterday that Bell had his clause in his contract because the CBA, now I'm hearing that the league is saying that to be eligible, he has to he has to sign by Tuesday to be eligible. Does he or does he not have a specific clause that means that he is not eligible to be franchised next year? He would have to have that in writing specifically in his contract. Somebody said he did. Have we proved he does or doesn't have that in his contract yet?
I don't know. And you're saying that a second-round pick back in 2014 went out of his way to have a specific contract that's not boilerplate like everyone else seems unlikely.
It does seem unlikely, but that was the report. And I said, well, how
that
is
was
that?
The report. And
yeah,
that
I just, I don't
know. Quarterback money was what they said. That's what he would have to be paid, which it was a report, I believe, from an NFL Network colleague, Tom Pelissero.
So I don't know if it's been disproved, but that seemed to me to be outrageous. I just don't think anybody would have had the foresight to do that.
Can I tell you the crazy thing with this one, Mike? This is going back since August when he was threatening to hold out and miss the season. I asked 10 different people about Le'Veon Bell's contract and got 10 different answers.
Right, so no one knows for sure, right.
His agent is a guy named Lisa Carney, who used to be Maurice Jones-Drew's agent. I think he's Tyrod Taylor's agent. I have no relationship with the agent, I'll be honest.
Gotcha.
I think he doesn't file. I mean, I don't deal with a lot of these agents, but I have no relation with the guy, and I, from what I gather, he's not one of these media darlings feeding stuff to the media all the time because no one can read on Bell. So it's one of those deals where the Steelers are kind of like waiting, but the word around the league is that, you know, the Steelers seem pretty happy with James Conner, and it's not going to exactly be attaboy when Le'Veon Bell does come back if he does.
I agree completely. I mean, and Roethlisberger has been talking Conner up big time, so you're right about that. You know, to be fair to the league here, and I hit him hard last year, so I got to be fair to them here. For whatever reason, the ratings are really good this year. I mean, they've been very good. You want to say it's the quarterback? A lot of people think the quarterback's being healthy. A lot of people think it's the offense. A lot of people think it's Luck coming back and Mahomes and guys like that. I don't know the reason, but except for 1 week in the regular season, the ratings are up. And on Sunday night, the ratings are up enormously over last year.
I'll give you some weird factoids that I've been told, and it's not bragging about a show, but we do a Fox pregame show that is before the regular pregame show at 11 a.m. And last week, with a 1 o'clock national game of Redskins-Falcons, which is not a game that people are staying home on a Sunday, it was the highest rated pregame we've ever had in 6 years of doing it. And I'm trying to connect the dots why. I just think interest in football is high. I think that's what it is. And you know,
well, whatever reason, something's connecting this year. Now, the anthem thing seems to have gone away. Whatever it is, football's having a good, you know, a lot of people were worried, but it's having a big ratings year. So people, got to be fair. We all hit it when it was
Raiders
losing.
Raiders 49ers last Thursday night did very well. It was the number one rated show up for the week. Raiders
and obviously the Brady game with Rodgers did big numbers. Yes, yeah. Well, Rams Saints was a good game. Rams Saints and Rams Packers was the best game I saw this year. That was the best game I saw. Yeah, that was a very. But hey, a couple things here. You're hearing rumblings about two guys specifically who, if they were on the market, would be on the market very short amount of time. Harbaugh in Baltimore, and then of course. Our buddy
McCarthy
in Green Bay. Now, you buy in on both, you buy in on either.
Okay, it's a very subjective thing to say if someone's on the hot seat. If John Harbaugh's in the hot seat, that means if he wins 5 next games and they win the division. You know what I mean? So they won't get fired mid-season. Jason won't get fired mid-season. It's not going to happen. To me, it's so subjective. But if these guys lose out the rest of the way, if Green Bay finishes 6-10, of course there's jobs. That could be taken. And like,
no, but the question is, what if they go 9-7 and don't get a run in the playoffs, are they basically done with these guys and they're ready to move on to somebody else? That's the point.
Those coaches have pedigrees of winning. However, in recent history, John Harbaugh hasn't been to the playoffs in 4 years.
Yep.
You know, McCarthy last year when Rodgers was injured, that team was terrible. They were 5-11 with Philly under center. So, there's arguments to be made on both sides. I'll say this. New general manager with the Ravens, although he's been there forever, Eric DeCosta is taking over for us this offseason. They have a new quarterback in town with Lamar Jackson. It does seem time, if there was not a successful season, just wipe the slate clean. New GM, new coach, new quarterback. In Green Bay, you know, Ted Thompson is no longer involved. They got rid of a lot of guys in that front office, a lot of guys on the offensive side of the ball. I wouldn't be shocked if Green Bay missed the playoffs if Mike McCarthy was coaching next year. And your point is right. Harbaugh and McCarthy will be 1 and 1A as far as getting interviews for the top next season. There will be a short list of teams that will want to interview those guys because those guys are respected around the league. Sometimes just need a new change.
And not only that, it's hard to find coaches now. I mean, basically everybody wants to hire Lincoln Riley. Everybody knows it. I mean, you know that. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, everyone makes him out to be Newt Rockne. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And he should give some of his salary, whatever he makes, whatever NFL team that's going to pay him. He should hand over a 10% check to Sean McVay. Because I will tell you right now, I talked to a lot of these team presidents and owners, and no one's looking for the next Fox. No one is looking for the next Lovie Smith. They're looking for the next young, hot offensive coach. That's the way the league's going. And the Bears think they got one with Matt Nagy, and the Rams got one with Sean McVay, and everyone thinks Lincoln Riley or the other name that you're going to hear a lot about again, and don't roll your eyes, everyone, but Josh McDaniels is going to be the hottest name again. He's still relatively young. Everyone in the league wants young and offense because if you watch some of these teams that are struggling, the Cowboys, the Giants, the offense is putrid. It's not a fun, entertaining watch, and that is what teams are going to be looking for.
You know, the other thing is, I'm going to talk with Peter Schrader. The other thing is, everybody is copying what Andy Reid's doing. Andy Reid's a favorite of mine, has been for a very long time. He is having a great year. The whole league's copying what he's doing. If he can just have that one big magical postseason, then he's going to have won 200 games. He's a Lock Hall of Famer. Now everybody thinks Andy Reid's the greatest thing in the world. So all those postseason miseries go away, just like they did for Bill Cowher. Remember, Bill Cowher lost three games at home to double-digit underdogs in big spots with the Steelers. He was miserable in the big game, and it all changed like that. The same thing would happen with Andy Reid. So that would be my dream for this season if that happened for Andy Reid.
Me too. He's been very, very, very respected around the league, obviously, and other coaches swear by him. Ron Rivera swears everything to his career to Andy Reid, and the list goes on to John Harbaugh, whoever. Here's the deal. Cowher won that Super Bowl. You know, Dungy won that Super Bowl. Marty Schottenheimer never did. You never hear Marty Schottenheimer mentioned in those same breaths. I think Andy Reid's already had a better coaching career if you want to go head-to-head against Marty, but he's not in that group until he wins one, and if there ever was a year, it was this one. He totally rolled the dice with this one. I mean, Alex Smith was going to get him 11 wins or 10 wins this year, and they were going to be a home playoff game and the whole deal. He'd seen it enough. They went for Mahomes, and I'll tell you this. Andy Reid has been so rejuvenated by having a Patrick Mahomes. I did two Chiefs games this year already and talked to Reid and talked to Mahomes, and this is a 23-year-old kid working with a 60-year-old head coach, and the 60-year-old head coach seems like he's a 23-year-old kid. He is having
he's loving it. Loving it.
And
it gives him a chance to call everything. And not only that, everybody in college, everybody in the NFL, they're all copying everything Andy's doing, copying everything he's doing. And, you know, it's made it fun again. And you're hearing about how, you know, Andy's this, Andy that. But good for him. He just needs to have, because he is this generation's two guys who were good coaches, Marty Schottenheimer, who was a good coach, and before that, Chuck Knox. And if you talk to old coaches, they'll tell you Chuck Knox was a great coach, never did well in the postseason, never. And they just were guys who just did really well in the regular season, never did well. Andy's that third guy in that group, so I'd love to see him have
and
a
Mike,
big postseason.
To, you know, I don't have the page in front of me, the group, but he went to five NFC Championship games, coached in a Super Bowl. It's all there. It's just the ring. It's all we're waiting for. And, again, his tree – if you want to go through the – I mean, whether it's Matt Nagy in Chicago, Doug Peterson in Philly, Ron Rivera in Carolina, Steve Wilkes in Arizona, all these guys swear by Andy Reid. So he's got the respect of the coaches. He's got the respect of the Eagles fans. He's got all that. It's just the ring. And
I like to see it happen,
Something he did, which is really cool, he hired Brad Childress last year, and Chile was out of the league and the whole thing, and he just told Brad Childress, go and study Texas 7-on-7 football. Go and study what they're doing at the Division III level. Go and find me that team in the middle of the country that doesn't punt ever and goes for it on fourth down. And just do a deep dive and bring me back what you get. He's got guys watching film of 7-on-7 Division III high school Texas football, and he's finding ways to incorporate it. It's brilliant. He's one of the smartest offensive minds the game's ever seen. I think it would be a great story if he got to the Super Bowl.
Oh, and win it. And win it, though. He needs to win it because that gets them. That just it ends everything. That gets rid of all the nonsense. I'd love to see it happen for him. And then all of a sudden, everyone's going to talk about what a great coach he's always been. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Then the revisionist history comes in.
Yeah, because he's won 200 games. I mean, so, you know, the bottom line is, you know, the guy's been around forever. He's won a ton of games. That's all he has to do. So that would be the fun part. The other interesting thing is the two teams tonight, and I want to lump in San Diego or Chargers. These three teams are not getting talked about. They're, you know, because everyone's talking about the Rams, everyone's talking about the Saints, everyone's talking about the Chiefs, everyone's talking about the Pats. This is the next core. This is the next underbelly. These three teams are all good enough to be Super Bowl teams. Carolina, Pittsburgh, and believe it or not, the Chargers, especially if they get Bosa back. Those three teams are a very interesting story, and especially the winner of tonight's game.
I spent a lot of time with the Chargers guys in London. I was over in London for their Titans-Chargers games. I was with Anthony Lynn, their head coach, for a night. I spent another night with some of their front office guys, and I don't think America realizes what the Chargers are in the midst of. Their last home game in L.A. was on October 7th. They have traveled to Cleveland. They beat the Browns handedly when everyone was high on the Browns, and they basically got Hugh Jackson fired, blew him out, stayed in Cleveland for 5 days, then flew to London, stayed there for 4 days, flew 16 hours back to California, had a bye week, went into Seattle, beat the Seahawks, very tough team to beat in their building, and now we're on the road in Oakland. It'll be 41 days between games played in their home stadium, and they've won every one of them.
That's an amazing story.
That's
an amazing story.
If you don't think that galvanizes a team, and they, I did the math, and I spoke with their PR guys, 39 hours on the team plane together this stretch. Think about that.
That's an amazing story. I agree. That is a great story. And they have a good team. They have a really good team. And if they ever get Bosa back, they got a scary team. And they could be very tough, because that's a team that's not going to blink on a road somewhere. That's not going to – they go into New England. They go into Kansas City. Now, Kansas City owns them. We know that. But they're not going to blink. They're not going to blink, that team. They're going to be tough out.
Kansas City kicked their butts the first week of the season, and the only other team to beat them were the Rams.
That's it.
The Rams hard. So if those are the two teams that beat you, they're pretty good. I'll say this, though. Andy Reid has never, and the coach of the Chiefs, lost to the Chargers.
I know. He owns them. Yeah, absolutely owns them. Absolutely true. You know, that's the one team that just – and you got Rams and Chiefs coming up in Mexico. Now, I'm not big on those games that are all over the place, but that's a good game no matter where it is. I don't know what happens when it goes to Mexico, whether that's a good thing or bad thing. I have no idea what the setting is going
to
be like.
The altitude is supposed to be insane, and I've heard teams complain about it, that you can't even breathe. It's like Denver times 10, apparently. So – we'll see. I mean, that's a Monday night football game. ESPN, I'm sure, will be doing flips over that one. Let's just hope they don't get in the way, and it's just a great game, and we just enjoy the broadcast. So we'll see how it goes on that one, because I think those are the two best offenses in the league, and that includes the Saints. I still think the Rams, in a neutral setting, can put up the points. So that one in high altitudes with the defenses gasping for air, we're looking at 55.
That's a good point. You know, I didn't think of Mexico City. That is a very high altitude Mexico City. You're absolutely right. Yeah, and they do have a big crowd, though. They draw a lot of – see, I'm surprised the Cowboys weren't in that game. I figured they would be for sure, because they're all Cowboy fans. But I thought that would be the case.
They did Patriots Raiders last year, and that was huge. And they did Texans Raiders last year. A lot of the fans in Mexico are Raiders fans, but you're right. They're not taking a home game away from Jerry, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. You knew that wasn't the case. But, you know, there's enough teams where you don't have to do that. I mean, the thing is, you know, you go like with the Chargers or the Rams. Rams have to be annoyed. They play Green Bay out there in L.A., and it's a Green Bay home game. I mean, basically, they had to quiet the crowd when they had the ball. I mean, it's ridiculous. They don't have anybody in the building.
What do you do about it? I don't know how to change it.
You can't, but it's very tough to have that when you're trying to win a playoff game. It's a hard way to win a playoff game.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, they did show up last year. They played a Saturday night game on NBC between the Falcons and them, and it was a good turnout for Rams fans. But you know L.A. fans. You know, there are Laker games where they don't show up until the third quarter. You know the story. So we'll see what happens come December and January. But you're right. When the Saints have the home field advantage they have, the Panthers haven't lost at home in 10 games, and then you obviously have all these Northeast teams with the Eagles and the Redskins. If they get a home playoff game, it's a different home field advantage than what the Rams are going to get.
How's Good Morning Football doing?
We're humming. We're good. We got a nice little show. We spent a couple weeks in London, which was bizarre but fun. And we're doing well on the NFL Network in the morning. We're just talking football, Mike. That's all we want to do.
Oh, good. So, and are you still there 5 days a week?
5 days a week. Although, tomorrow through the weekend, I'm going to Fort Benning, Georgia with the Fox.
Oh, boy, Veterans Day. Veterans Day. Okay, that's right. So, what are you doing now? Let me hear.
We're going down there. We're going to be doing the shows from there. There's some flag football game with the guys who are on the military base. I'll be honest, I'm so excited to do this. I know I sound like a little kid, but this is one of those things where I always see Fox going to Pearl Harbor, doing all the stuff in Afghanistan, and this is my opportunity to go and check one of these things out and get to meet the troops. It'll be cool. I'm excited.
You know, it's funny. This is a new thing, because back in the day when I was doing the NFL and the network, we didn't do stuff like that with the military. We never did anything with the military. That's like a new wave thing. I don't know when that started exactly. I think it started when the military started giving the NFL money. I think that's when it started. But it started a while ago. But now it happens a lot. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for the guys who are in the military. I mean, listen, you can't do enough for them. I totally agree. So I think it's a good thing. But we never did it in the old days. I don't remember that ever happening.
Entire month of November for the NFL is the Salute to Service month, so there's a theme to it. It's with Veterans Day, obviously, and one of the cool deals with it is, like, you know, these guys, we could talk about the troops and football.
Absolutely.
And we've done it, but, like, it's a cool Mike, to be a man, I don't think they give a crap to meet me, but I'll be there with Strahan and Tony Gonzalez, and that's going
to
make
their... No, they like to meet players, obviously, and they like that people pay attention to them. That's all. That gives them something to do. Yeah, I mean, it's fun, absolutely. Well, go have a good time. We'll talk to you along the way. I know you're too busy for us these days, but it's okay. You know, we'll catch up with you once a month or something. It's okay. You got big time. You got big time. We know that.
You're the best. I love it. You're the man.
See ya. Take care, Peter. Peter Schrager from Fox. You see him. He's everywhere now. now. He's got all these shows. You know, that's what happens. You know, it's good for him. He's good. He's on all these different shows. Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. And then he's on Fox. He's doing Fox Sunday morning shows. That's why he can't do Sunday morning with us. He does the Fox show on Sunday morning, and he does games. He's on the sideline. So he's busy. He's doing well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.